Good morning. Nathan and Avery are attending a special retreat, and Alan and I both and our wives got to both attend the retreat that they're attending this weekend, and I'm really excited for him. There is an anonymous benefactor that works with some of the ministers, and these ministers get other ministers to come to a retreat. And you spend time together talking about ministry and your successes and your failures. And it's just an amazing time. So this morning, pray a special blessing over Nathan and Avery as they participate in that retreat. And that was such a blessing to Debbie and I when we had the opportunity to go. And so prayer is a blessing over them. So he asked me to step in this morning, and I'm going to be, if you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to be in there for a bit. But this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit. When I was a child, any of you guys or girls play sandlot football? Like sandlot football? Do y'all know what sandlot football is? I see a few hands, not many. Well, so when I was a kid, we didn't have screens. My TV was black and white. Okay, that's how old I am. My TV was black and white. And it was a little time before color came along, and so that was exciting. But we spent our time outside, and on Saturdays, it was always the day of the big game. And we would play sandlot football. I grew up in Texas City, and if you know anything about Texas City, it's flat. So all of our yards were flat, and these were all new homes, and they had, you know, had planted little tiny trees. You know, and they were kind of obstacles in our football course, but we took 3 yards and we basically killed the grass in all three. So we would get out there and, but there, the hardest part about the game wasn't even the game play. It was when we all gathered together and 2 people were chosen as captains. And we stood in line and we're standing there waiting to be chosen. Ever been in that situation where you're standing there and you've got people there and you're waiting to be picked? And it was always a relief when I said, I'll take Whit, you know, because I wasn't the last one standing. But there were times when I was the last one standing. And it didn't feel great. It kind of, you kind of go, well, I guess I'm the worst player on the field. But what that would do to me is inspire me to play better so that I didn't look like the worst player on the field. But I got to thinking about that. I mean, doesn't life sometimes minimize us? We feel small. You know, there's a lot of talk about bullying today and people that get bullied. And, you know, the world tries to diminish us. The world tries to make us feel smaller than we are. And it tries to divide us and separate us and alienate us. You know, and when I was chosen last, I was pretty bummed. But like I said, I still played because I loved playing the game, and I wanted that opportunity to show I wasn't the worst player on the field. And I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that give us stories about people just like us. People that were going along, doing what they could do, minding their business. And God says, I got a plan for you. We're going to look at the story in a moment of Gideon. But first, I want to remind you, remember when Samuel had to go pick, anoint a king? And I want to remind you what the Lord said to Samuel. And this is 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. Kind of what the world does, doesn't it? Or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. We need to understand that. The Lord looks differently at you than the world does. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God saw the heart of that shepherd boy, David. And God knew there was greatness in him, greatness that David probably didn't even recognize in himself. But the story I do want to focus on today is in Judges chapter 6, and it's the story of Gideon. I've come to realize that the more I look at the Scriptures, that the stories of faith and victory come through the least of humanity. The smallest ones, the ones that were minimized, the ones that were the least, the broken, the dismissed, and the minimized. And I know most of us have felt this way at one point in our life. Haven't you felt that way sometimes? Like, I don't really matter. What difference do I make? But I want you to know how vitally important you are in God's plan. There's one thing this morning I want you to walk away with, is that you are important in God's kingdom. You are a central figure in God's plan and purpose because you are a child of God. You are His child, and you have chosen Him. And so to me, it's really important that you understand that you make a difference in this world. Don't let the world minimize you and the power that is at your disposal through God. We're going to take a moment, and we're going to look at and see how God uses Gideon for His great purpose. So we're going to start in Judges chapter 6, where I'm going to be doing some reading this morning. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock in their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried to the Lord for help. Okay, so you have the Israelites not really doing what God says, and God says, okay, you want to do it your way, I'm going to let you. He releases them into the hands of the Midianites, and oppressive, hugely oppressive people. And so the Israelites finally, they cry out to the Lord. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you've not listened to me. I wonder if we are listening to the Lord. I wonder if we are truly listening to those mighty words, I am the Lord your God. I think sometimes we get fearful of the stuff going on in our world and we become overwhelmed because we hear all the news and all the media, but our God is still God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that He is in control of all things. And maybe it doesn't look like we think it ought to look, but let me tell you what, He has a plan and His purpose. And as Job said, His purpose will not be thwarted. God's plan cannot be thwarted. So we see God's people crying out to the Lord, but all the while they're worshiping other gods and not being obedient to His command. And they wonder why God is not rescuing them. Doesn't make sense. He would rescue them while they're still doing evil. So, but in His great mercy, while they are still in the midst of their sin, God reaches out to His people, and here's how. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I love it that God addresses Gideon as a mighty warrior, because Gideon does not know he's a mighty warrior. He's about to find out what kind of warrior he is. And he says, pardon me, my Lord, replied Gideon. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Don't we ask that question? Why? Why is this Why is this stuff happening? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Don't we feel that way sometimes? Abandoned? Where are you, Lord? Why does this happen? I don't understand this. And oftentimes we're caught in sin and we don't acknowledge that. We just want rescue. And God knows us. He knows us well. So why is he not acting? Maybe the reason is that he wants us to be part of the plan. He wants us to choose him, to choose his will and purpose for life. The Lord turns to Gideon and says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Now think about this. Here's Midian. He's just taking care of this stuff to keep it from the Midianites. And here's God saying, go in the strength you have, save Israel. I love what happens next. Pardon me, my Lord. Love it. He says that. How can I save Israel? Look what he says. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. That's how Gideon saw himself. You see yourself like that sometimes? What difference do I make? What purpose do I have in the scheme of all this stuff going on in the world? And here's Gideon. He's just doing what he's supposed to do and trying to protect what he has. And now the Lord, the angel of the Lord, comes to him and calls him out, gives him an opportunity. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Doesn't Jesus say that to us? Doesn't the Lord say that to you? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Why do we feel abandoned? Why do we feel hopeless when we know that the Lord is with us always? But we are so much like Gideon. As we continue in the story, we have these questions. What a turn of events. Can you imagine what's going on in Gideon's mind? Me? I'm going to defeat the Midianites? Little old me? Here he is. He's standing in the line waiting to be chosen. He's the least, last one chosen. And God says, yeah, I'm going to choose you, but I'm going to choose you for something mighty. I'm going to choose you for something great. So next we see Gideon offer a sacrifice of meat and unleavened bread before the angel of the Lord. He wants to make sure that he's serving the right God. I thought that's interesting, and I'm not going to continue in that text. And the angel of the Lord touches it with the tip of his staff. Fire flares from the rock, consumes the meat. Gideon knows without a doubt, this is the angel of the Lord. But I find it interesting that he says, I need to see something. I'm going to go get meat and make a sacrifice. And I'm going to prepare a sacrifice, and I want to see what you do with it. And he waits, and the angel of the Lord shows him. And so he builds an altar at that place and calls it the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. And that just makes me think about when all the turmoil and all the struggle of life comes, if we just pause, if we just breathe for a moment and remember the Lord is peace, he will give us peace. That's what we all seek. In the rest of the story, and I encourage you to read the rest of the story because I'm not going to discuss all the rest of the story. We see Gideon's obedience to the Lord. The angel tells him to destroy his father's altar to Baal, and he does so. But like many of us, he waits till nighttime. He's not going to go do it out in the open. He's not going to go, oh, okay, the Lord is with me. Here the angel of the Lord's burned up a sacrifice in front of him. He knows it's the angel of the Lord. He knows he's calling him. He tells him to go tear down this altar, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to do it at night. No, I'm not going to do it during the daytime. There's fear. Here's Gideon. Isn't that so much like us? He is so much like us. He's afraid of his family. He's afraid of the townspeople, so he goes at night. Gideon's found out. Oh, yeah, it was Gideon that did it. The town's people proclaim that Gideon must die for destroying the altar, and Gideon's father stands up for his son. Listen to what happens. I'm going to read verse 30. The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him. I love this. "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. But if Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So Gideon broke down Baal's altar. They gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, "Let Baal contend with him." So the people said, "Okay, we'll let Baal deal with him." Of course, Baal's nothing. He's a false god. So for the sake of time, I want to challenge you to read the rest of the story. The rest of the story is amazing. About he puts out the sheepskin and the dew on and all that kind of stuff. And then he goes into battle and I'm not ruining the story because most of you have read it. But 300 men, he defeats this ocean of Midianites. And remember what he said, "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family." That's what he thought of himself. That he was the least. Brothers and sisters, we are no different than Gideon. We have been given a great commission to share the hope of the gospel with everybody we come in contact with. And it isn't always with words. Many times the seeds of faith in God we plant are because of the way we live in Christ in front of other people. Young people, you make a difference. You are around a lot of young people that don't have a faith in anything. You are light in the darkness. You are a city set on a hill. We all are. And oftentimes we let the world minimize us. We minimize ourselves. And sometimes our self-worth can be a disastrous thing. When I was a youth minister, the elders at the time, there was a big push for self-esteem. Self-esteem, self-esteem. Make sure the kids have good self-esteem. Self-esteem is a good thing, not a bad thing. But that's what I focused on. But I wasn't seeing much change in the kids until I realized that's not what they needed. What they needed was God esteem. They needed to look through themselves at God's eyes to see themselves the way He sees them. And once they began to understand how much they were loved and treasured and cherished, their self-esteem rocketed because they were seeing through His eyes, seeing themselves through His eyes. It transformed our youth group. It changed the way they look at themselves. They weren't focused on self any longer. They were focused on God and their relationship with Him and how He loves. And to me, that was a powerful, powerful situation. Men and women who were the least in this world, in the world's view, were the greatest in God's kingdom. Jesus comes, what, in a manger? Not in a palace. Even the Prince of Peace comes in a moment, looks like weakness in the least of situations. And whether you realize it or not, I'm going to tell you something that's really important. You are all heroes of the Bible. Because you all said, "Jesus is Lord." You are all heroes. And your story is being written just like Gideon's. As small as you may feel, God can and will use you for His mighty purpose. Which brings us to the scripture reading that I changed today. It wasn't changed in the bulletin, but I changed it because I felt like it was really important for us to focus on this scripture in light of looking at Gideon. And in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, I want to read this again because I really want you to understand how vitally important you are in God's plan and purpose. Whether you think you make a difference or not, you are God's child. And there is power within you that goes untapped oftentimes because we diminish ourselves. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit, God, in us. And it's a mystery, and I don't fully understand it, but I know and I have seen the power of God projected through you in this community and in people's lives, and how you have changed people's lives. It's amazing when you start looking back. I have the privilege of longevity here. I'm one of the old guys here now. Been on staff for 39 years. And I can't tell you all the stories. It would take hours and hours and hours to tell the stories, days and days and weeks of lives that have been transformed. And I see them make a difference in this world. And they don't touch just one person. They touch thousands of people. And I had the opportunity and privilege to be part of that, of God's plan in that. Listen to what 1 Peter 2, 4-10 says. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans and chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never, listen to this, never be put to shame. We are his possession. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, because they don't acknowledge who God is and who Jesus is. They stumble because they disobey the message, much like the Israelites were disobeying, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you, and this is our goal, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. Once you were not a people, and now you are the people of God, just like Gideon, who took 300 men and defeated an ocean of Midianites and their camels and horses with 300 men and the power of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is our identity. This is who we are. Why do we live differently than that? Why do we live with the mindset of Gideon? Well, we're the least in the tribes of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. But that's oftentimes what we do. God is at work in you and through you, and even in our weakness, because his grace is sufficient. Please don't ever underestimate how God can use you for kingdom purposes. And as you read through the scriptures, continue to look at how God uses the least of humanity, the broken, the dismissed, the minimized, to achieve his will and good purpose. You are part of that story that is being written in heaven and on earth, of faith and hope and love that's lived out in your mortal body. You are heroes of the scriptures. I want to encourage you again to finish the story of Gideon so you can see how he defeats the Midianites, as the angel of the Lord said. But here's the point. Gideon's story is your story. And your story is his story. We are all part of God's great story and plan. Please don't forget these words from 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, the spirits of the world, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. greater is he that is in you than the evil that is in the world that's causing all the strife and division and minimization of Christians. And let me tell you what, God says, rise up. I chose a different kind of invitation song. I got with Jim and chose a different kind of invitation song because it's an invitation to engage. It's an invitation to engage in battle because you have been called out of darkness. This morning in our class, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and we're talking about the armor of God. I could take a pile of armor and set it right here, and you could look at it, but that armor is useless. I have to put it on. I have to be willing to go to war. Because let me tell you what, we are in a battle. And there is a great force of evil trying to oppress you and your spirit and try to minimize you and say you are not valuable and your thoughts and opinions don't matter. Well, let me tell you what God is saying. Rise up. You are not the least mighty warrior. He calls you his mighty warrior. So we're all part of the plan. This morning, if Satan has minimized you and you need prayers and you need strength, this is the place. This is the church family. We will surround you and encourage you, just like I know there's angels surrounding us. But it's time to take up the armor of God and take a stand, like Gideon took a stand. And let me tell you what, we've already won. We've already gained the victory. If you have a need, if you felt diminished, if you want to engage in battle and you're ready to do that and you just need prayers to do that, we'll pray over you. Whatever your need is, please come as we stand and sing.